All righty, welcome into Unpaved. He's Sean Salisbury. I'm Adam Sager. Follow him at Sean Unfiltered. Me at Adam G. Sager. The show at Unpaved on Rumble. Sean, we got a lot of football to talk about. We're going to talk some NFL, some owners and coaches saying some things that don't know what the hell they're thinking. We've got the team down where you're at, down in Houston. Just things aren't going like we thought they would this season. College football, we're going to talk a little bit of Georgia. We're going to talk a little bit of Georgia Tech, Texas A&M. Just kind of where things stand with those teams and how serious of contenders are they to compete with an Ohio State-type team for a national title game. But before we do that, let's pay off our poll question from yesterday and give you our new one. Who's the best team in the NFC? The Lions, hands down, with 66% of the vote. Then it went Packers at 15, Eagles at 14, Bucks at 4, and then we had a lot of write-ins for the Rams as well. So do you think they got it right with Detroit at the moment? And this is just right now. We still got, 10 weeks left?
I do. I'm shocked that they did. Good to talk to you, man. Good to be with you today. A lot going on. I'm shocked that it was that big a domination, to be honest with you. I thought it'd be closer because I thought there'd be more – you know, people in the Eagles who would say, well, wait a minute. They just know how to win. And then after watching Jalen Hurts' performance where he just continues to quiet people when they question if he's any good, and all he does is win. And in that game, he made a bunch of big plays this past weekend. You know, the Buccaneers, the last loss, I think people see that. So they've kind of – they quiet on him, even though I think they're still really good. And the injuries, I think, have people looking forward. I don't think the Packers are there yet. I still think there's a few weaknesses that they're going to have to correct in a very tough division. And the Rams in my mind would be second. We didn't put them on there. The Rams would probably be second. And folks, just so you know, there's a lot of choices. Sometimes we don't put it on there, so you can banner and write it in and give us why you think it should. So I'd have a hard time betting against the Rams in a head-to-head game against any of them, depending on where the game was played, if everybody had at least one or two guys healthy. But yeah, to me, Detroit, and I actually think their defense might be better this year than they were last year. I do. I like the way they fly around. And especially considering that they're banged up in the back end. Yeah, give me Detroit. With the Rams, I would have put second. But I'm shocked at the distance between one and two on that poll.
Yeah, I mean, when you look at Detroit's defense, they're a completely different defense when Aiden Hutchinson is healthy.
No doubt. That's a big reason why. Yes.
He is every bit of that tier with Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, Micah Parsons, all those guys. I mean, he is that big of a difference maker.
Segs, if we redrafted, you know how we always do that. Well, let's go back and redraft. He's getting picked where he is or even higher.
I still can't believe the Jags took Trayvon Walker over him. I mean, just.
Yeah. I mean, when I say higher, there's not a lot of places to go up higher, but he would have.
He should have been the first pick.
If we redraft, he's the first pick of the draft. So he's not only lived up to it, I actually think early in his infancy, he's exceeded it. I do. So. Yeah, I think he's special. And I think that if the Lions are going to go to February, that unit in the front seven has to be even – it has to do what they do. And he has to elevate and be a defensive player of the year guy. And he's doing that. He belongs in the same conversation as the Garretts and the TJ Watts, the ones we're talking about, no doubt.
Yeah, for sure. All right, today's poll question. I'm going to set the scene here because it's our first topic that we're going to hit on today. I read the quotes and I'm just like, what is going on? So Jets owner Woody Johnson, we know he sometimes sticks his foot in his mouth. He likes to talk a little too much for an NFL owner. And he's talking about the Jets being 0-7. Is Aaron Glenn in trouble? Is, you know, the defense has really struggled. Justin Fields hasn't played up to the standards they want him to. But Woody Johnson, talking to reporters, was talking about Aaron Glenn, and he gave him the vote of confidence. Well, then he goes on to say, if we could complete a pass, it would look good. Then he goes on to say, it's hard when you have a quarterback with a rating that ... He has the ability, but something isn't jiving. But if you look at any head coach with a quarterback like that, you're going to see similar results if you go across the league. You have to play consistently at that position. And that's what we're going to try and do for the remainder of the season. Now, Sean, I get what he's saying because Justin Fields hasn't played good enough. But this is a defense, and this is Aaron Glenn's specialty, that didn't create a turnover for what, 5.5 games? And we're not, I mean, the Dolphins scored 30 plus on them. Teams were scoring 30 plus on them at will. And the owner comes out and trashes his quarterback for not playing up to his standards. And yeah, Justin Fields, I wrote it down, 64% completion percentage, 845 yards, only like 140 yards per game. Does have 4 touchdowns, no interceptions, does have 3 rushing touchdowns, 3 fumbles. I don't think he's the big reason. In fact, early in the season, Sean, we were talking like he's playing a little bit better. And then, boom, here comes Woody Johnson laying a haymaker on Justin Fields. So the poll question today is, if you're Justin Fields, would you play another snap for Woody Johnson's New York Jets?
And we're a little misleading on that because he doesn't have a choice whether to play another snap or not. So take it with the context it's in, basically just saying, basically, would you want to play another snap or go to the ends of the earth for the owner? But in truth, he needs to, because he's also playing for another job somewhere else more than likely next year. Now, if I was a free agent and they wanted to sign me back, I'd give them the middle finger and tell them to kiss my ass if I, you know, move on if there was other opportunities. Not literally, but you get my point. Listen, there's a lot. What he said, Woody Johnson, is not wrong. They're not playing well. They're not, stuff you say behind closed doors. You go to him, you go to the coach. Aaron Glenn has not been good. The defense has not been. This organization sucks ass, okay? It just does. And passionate New York fans deserve better than to watch this. I know when I say trash, I'm not talking about the individual players, just the trash product you're putting out there. They're awful. And it's every year. Last year was Aaron Rodgers' fault. The year before, somebody else's fault. Then it's somebody else's fault. The fact of the matter is, the stuff, the Sam Darnold, the and boy, it turned out pretty well for him. In Seattle,
all the way back to Geno Smith in the day.
No doubt. There's the dysfunction. It always starts at the top. And if the leadership at the top sucks, you can't help but let the leadership go down. Now, if a player said this about a coach like Tua, or players like Tua and Carson Beck have said in recent weeks, the I confess he did a thing, we would lambast them and destroy them and say this is uncalled for, because you just don't air the dirty laundry. Now, he's a billionaire. It's his money. He can do what he wants. But if you're trying to have some function and not dysfunction in your organization, this ain't it. Okay. I'm so tired, as I tweeted, of billionaires overloading their mouth with their ass. And at no time, and I'll continue to say it, if the face of your franchise or the voice of your franchise is the owner, you got problems. That's why Dallas, I love Jerry, but they ain't winning a Super Bowl anytime soon. It's got to be a player, a coach, or somebody else. It can't be the owner. And Woody Johnson, every now and then he'll come out and say, remember, he made comments about Aaron Rodgers as well. Mm-hmm. He just continues to overload his mouth with his ass. You're a billionaire. It's your team. Do what you want. But if you're trying to create function and not dysfunction and separate a team even more than it is, I mean, how shitty can you get when you're this bad? Well, apparently it can get shittier because the owner has got diarrhea of the mouth. Now, take your baby oil company and Johnson & Johnson, and you have trouble running your own nose, let your company roll it on your doggone skin. Take your ass to the Bahamas and enjoy a vacation, because your team's going to suck then and it sucks now. But the dysfunction starts at the top and it'll roll all the way through. I can tell you right now, the difference that they're 5 players away from being 5 players away. Yes, Fields should be better. Yes, this is obvious. He pointed out a bunch of Captain Obvious statements. Just don't do it with a mic in front of you, man, in some hotel lobby or wherever the hell he was answering the question, or it is complex. I just don't get what purpose it serves. If you want to take him out, if you don't like him that much, then cut his ass.
Right.
If you got the balls, then just cut him. Go to Aaron Glenn saying you don't have a choice. If you don't want to cut him, you're fired too. Because Aaron, I got news for you. Aaron Glenn's not exactly hanging on to a strong rope right now, considering what, you know, where, I mean, that's a short leash. It's not a long one with the way they're playing. And I hate votes of confidence, because that's telling you you better have a head on a swivel. So, and I like AG. I do. I'm a big fan of his. Played during Meyer. But production, we're in a production business. Well, we're in the potential business when we draft and go get free agents and overpay. And then we're in the production business when things start to go south. They've gone south, and they're worse than they were. They're getting worse in that organization. And the dysfunction starts at the top. You can't ask for everybody else to have a functional relationship and a business model when the very owner himself doesn't know how to run his own nose. And I just don't get it. I don't know Woody Johnson from Adam, but I know this, that what he said was stupid If you take care of that behind closed doors, nobody's got a problem. Plenty of owners do that. They give ultimatums. They give you either do this or you don't, or you're gone, or you get rid of this coordinator or this coach, or you're gone. So what do they do in the offseason? You think they just get rid of their friends? They've been told four of these guys got to go or you're getting fired. So they get rid of them because some of these guys are their 20-year best friends. So in this case, if you're really that adamant that Justin Fields, who hasn't played great, he's been up and down. Excuse me, it's been typical of his career. Flashes of brilliance, a lot of average, and some bad. But cut him if you don't think so. What this serves, because now would you not only turn the team against you, the quarterback, but the rest of the guys on the team are saying, well, hell, just cut me instead. I mean, how do you trust the owner that if you miss an interception or drop ball, that he's not going to come out and do that? That's a coach's job behind the, and it's an in-house job all the time. You could say, we got to get better. We all know what the problems are. I just don't know what purpose this serves with a billionaire. It just goes to show you, just because you have money doesn't make you the sharpest common sense IQ guy in the thread. Okay? Like I said, add some baby oil and go get some sun. He needs that, obviously. Vitamin D would help.
And by doing this, he makes his new GM and his new head coach look dumb because they're the ones that wanted Justin Fields and gave him 2 years, $40 million, $30 million guaranteed. So not only is
it's an undercut and an emasculation, say. Yes. They undercut the. Yeah, I know they're 0-7, so who are you undercutting? Their job's got to be evaluated too. But you're just basically saying to the whole organization, by saying that, you've instantly cut their nuts off and said, well, this is a you job, and I'm saying this out loud. The coaches are supposed to handle the football stuff, and if you don't like it, like I said, cut his ass and move on. But I don't know what purpose it just tells me, how does a guy become a billionaire when he has no leadership skills, doesn't know how to run his organization? I'll tell you how. He was given a silver spoon, and it was a hand-me-down. That's how. Because otherwise, I'm sure he's a really smart guy. I'm sure a good guy. But keep the microphone out of his face, or he should keep the camera out of his face and let those guys do it. And if they're not living up to your expectation, clear house.
Yes.
Fine. But what purpose does it serve? Is the Rooney going to do that? No, the Rooneys aren't going to do that. Bishotti's not doing it in Baltimore. The Hunt family's not doing it in Kansas City. The Rams team owner's not doing it there. You know why? They've empowered the guys that they trusted to go do it. And if they're not living up to your trust, you fucking get rid of them. It's pretty simple, like they do in every other walk of life. You just don't do it. And you know what? Sometimes you got to work, celebrate, and do diligence and do business in silence. That ain't doing it in silence. The same thing you ask for, you're not giving to your workers. It's a bad situation. And once again, the New York Jets are the laughingstock from top to bottom in the NFL.
Yeah, and when you look at it, I mentioned the head coach and the GM for giving Fields that. You're also taking a shot at your first-year OC, Tanner Eggstrand. Like, I mean, you're just making this. You're taking a shot at your wide receivers. Garrett
Wilson. It's a $20 million dildo is what it is, say.
Yes.
Is that what he makes, $20 million bucks? And it's without using baby oil that you're just doing it to the whole organization that you run. It's your franchise.
Yes.
By the way, I could use more of that. You know, it's good to put on your skin, Segs, to take the dryness and the, you know, when you need a little bit of that stuff. So I don't want him to be too mad. Just send me a cape. Well, no, I don't want that either because there was a guy who went through trial that came. We don't want that either. Leave that out. Yeah. I'll stick to tanning lotion. I caught it. No, not doing it. But Segs, I just don't
go with a different brand.
Think about this, Segs. So just like we talk about politics or any walk of life, making you a billionaire does not make you smarter than the next guy in the room. Quite frankly, at times it makes you dumber because you haven't had to think your way through shit. And this is not how a leader jumps in front of an organization and says, come behind closed doors, how do we get this fixed? This is, I confess, you guys suck and my quarterback sucks, yet I'm the one writing a $20 million, fifth, whatever it is, check to him. Try to keep him here, and we're not even halfway through the damn season.
Yeah.
Yeah, figure that one out for me.
I know Justin Fields from his time in Chicago, and he's not a very boisterous person. He don't talk a lot. He don't say a lot when he's in front of the media and stuff. But, man, if he came back and clapped back at the owner, I would applaud him because, you know what, they can get rid of him. They can cut him. But he's got a $22 million cap hit next season where they only save $1 million if they cut him. So it was a horrible contract. Everybody knows what Justin Fields is. If you think he's different, that's on you. That's on Woody Johnson. That's on the GM. That's on the head coach and the OC.
Segs, I got to ask, well, what would you do? Of course he's going to play if he's the starter. You're not going to cut off your own nose to spite your face if you're Justin Fields. You know what I'd do? Just like you would anything. You got to be able to compartmentalize. I ain't playing for that guy. He signs my checks. He wants to cut me. Have at it. It's going to crush you. You're cutting off your own nose to spite your face if you do that. And what's your option? If you had a better option, you'd already turn to it right now. No offense. They would have. And maybe they will if they think it's a better, longer option. But we know the potential. And I know we're all getting tired of saying Justin Fields' potential. Maybe he goes somewhere else and can you know, be better than he was in Chicago and Pittsburgh. But I just, the purpose of it, like I said, we all want to talk instead of listen. And he's the owner. He has that right. But I just don't get how it helps anybody. And when you say, yeah, Justin Fields, go play. If I'm Justin Fields, I want to play even better now so I can give him the invisible middle finger, basically, by my performance. But of course he's going to show up. Of course he's going to play, because you're not playing for the owner now. You're playing for your teammates, which you should have been doing in the first place, and your coaching staff. The owner sits up there in the suit. Other than that, I'll bet you he and Justin Fields haven't had a conversation since time they signed him. Because I know in all the years, and I liked my owners. I had good owners. I mean, the people I had some good owners in my professional career. And you know what? You know how many times you went up and had a conversation with them after the day you signed? None. They might have been walking by. Hey, how you doing? Good to see you. You don't. So it's the contract and your acquaintances. You're not owners unless you're there 20-some years like Brady and Mr. Kraft. You don't have those conversations. So who the hell gives a rat's ass what Johnson and Fields think about each other? And if I'm Fields, I would, you know what I'd say? I'd say, I don't know, the last time he took a snap, but I haven't seen him on tape anywhere. So I don't know what he's talking about. So I don't really care. I'm here to play for my teammates. And then if he cuts you, oh, well, collect some money and keep it moving.
Well, Aaron Glenn was asked in his press conference today who's going to be the starting quarterback, and he said he wasn't going to answer because he didn't want to give the Bengals one up on the Jets by saying if Fields or Tyrod Taylor.
Does it matter?
No one said
it. Does it matter?
I'm over the Jets.
Ooh, the game, and I like Aaron, but this game's much – well, okay, so with Tyrod, you get a pocket guy who's probably more consistent and – and understands coverage better and knows how to read a defense and has been damn good as a backup in this league and as a starter. Nothing but respect for Tyrod Taylor. With Fields, you're going to get a guy that is a tremendous athlete, one of the better athletes and specimens at the position. If I'm Cincinnati, I'm doing simple. Here's what I'm doing. I'm preparing for the dude who's got all the athleticism. And if Tyrod Taylor plays, then I know where he's going to be, in the pocket. And dude, I just don't get that. Whoa, we got to keep a secret. Yeah, make sure you don't let us know what cleats they're wearing, because we're wondering if the 3/4 inch or 1/2 inch are different on the field. What the fuck are you talking about? And I love Aaron, I do. But this 0-7 gamesmanship, talk to me when it's a Super Bowl and somebody stole your game plan. Win a game and then come see me, which they haven't done. It's awful. Yeah.
As Dr. J says, Bengals D versus Jets O, what a matchup. Yeah, two of the
worst. Can't wait to see that units. Yeah.
Yeah, two of the worst units.
You know who the best quarterback on the field is? Joe Flacco at 40 plus. Now think about that one. And Joe played
that's
great.
That's how sad both those organizations are.
No doubt. Urban, congratulations. You're what? 11 hours, 55 minutes away from your 10th wedding anniversary. Good on you, man. I hope it's a great one for you. Yes. Anniversary, happy couple. I love it. I don't know what you're going to do for, but do it right, brother. Good for you.
Have fun. Sean Payton had some interesting words about the Giants, who, remember, they came back in that historic comeback, down 26-8 with like 6.5 minutes to go. They come back, win 33-31. Sean Payton was talking about it, and he went, quote, "They found a little spark with that quarterback," talking about Jackson Dart. And then he says, quote, "I was talking to John Mara, Giants owner, not too long ago, and I was hoping that they would make the quarterback change long after their game against the Giants," basically saying he wishes they would have played Russell Wilson. Russ clapped back on Twitter by tweeting, "classless, ... but not surprised. Didn't realize you're still bounty hunting all these years later through the media." So, I mean, we got a coach and a quarterback who are no longer together. They clearly do not like each other. They both will speak their mind. We've heard both of them do it from, you know, all these years past that they've been in this league. Who do you look at here and say, like, what are you doing? Is it Sean Payton? That's where I am.
I love this shit, dude. I do. Because first off, listen, Russell Wilson, for the most part in his career, has taken the high road, but he's cheesy. Yeah. And if you go listening to teammates along the way, There's been some, it's Russell Wilson, superstar, and teammates over here. I'm just going by what you hear, Richard. Sure, the guys say that he wasn't one of the fellas in the locker room. Does that make sense? I've never been on a team with him. Listen, I respect the guy who's done what he did as a third round pick in his career. Now, I think Russell's a little too buttoned up for some's liking, or at least to the appearance of him being buttoned up. I think he's a little cheap. And then what he say? I mean, I think he's got a lot of fake enthusiasm when it comes to on the sidelines. I do, but I don't have a problem with him getting back at Sean Payton. Why not? They don't play. They were team. And you know what? When Sean Payton took the job, it was the one gig that was offered to him, and he's really good, and we know that. And he's a hell of a coach. Mm-hmm. Sean didn't want Russell Wilson as quarterback. They were just in too much money. There's nothing he could do. He didn't want him in the first place. And you could see the way he coached him from the get-go. Now, unlike some, I'm not going to make this a black-white thing, okay? Mm-hmm. Unlike some out there who are going to turn it into – he didn't. That's not true either when it comes to Sean Payton for any of us who know him. Now, I respect Russell Wilson immensely because he has taken the high road for the most part in his career. He has. Now, I kind of like him when he gets a dig because it's not normally like him. Fight back a little bit. And it was a major dig by Sean Payton. And I'm with him because I would rather face Russ Wilson than Jackson Dart too at this stage of their career. But I'm not going to diminish Russ Wilson's career and a potential Hall of Fame career. Listen, Sean Payton is one of the great antagonizers in all the sports. And I love him to death. That's why media loves him. He knows how to antagonize. And it was his way of saying, one more kick out the door. Let me just show you why Bo Nix is better than you and why I would have rather had Jackson Dart than you as my quarterback. It just is. But I have no problem. They're not going to play. They're never going to be on the same staff or team again. Russell Wilson, you know, it shows me there's a little fight in him, and he gets after it a little bit. So I'm okay with this. Sean Payton didn't like him. Ain't going to be the first time a coach and a quarterback didn't like each other. And won't be the last time. I can promise you that. So I like that Russ clapped back and said, you know, went on his. And it was a great line about the bounty. It was classic.
Yeah, it was. That was a good line.
And Sean Payton, who's friends with the Maras because he's been on staff there. You know, he's been through the Giants organization. It's a little bit of both. Good gamesmanship. Hell, we love the trash talking on the field. And Sean probably didn't need to dig in. And Russ didn't need to take it. Have at it. Because both of them in their careers deserve more respect for the way they went about it. But Sean's a classic when it comes to dude. He's a really good antagonizer and a damn good coach. Russ Wilson's been a really good player, a Hall of Fame type player, and has handled most things taking the high road. But, you know, Russ isn't everybody's favorite on the team or in places he's been. But respected, and Sean Payton's probably had more than one run-in with quarterbacks along the way. Here's what I do know. Russell Wilson's extremely sensitive, and Sean Payton knows how to find that, knows how to get in there. And Sean's probably got a little sensitivity in him too, but I know Sean Payton better than I do Russ Wilson, respect for both. I don't have a problem with this. I don't blame him for fighting back in Russ Wilson's case, and I don't think Sean needed to say that, but Sean Payton's a gamesmanship guy. We see this stuff all the time. Not a big deal for me. Not a big deal at all.
Yeah, I like the little bit of back and forth. I think, you know, we don't – we see
– it was uncalled for, sense, you know, I'm saying it need to.
Yeah. Right. There was no reason to tell the John Mara story. You could have just said, hey, yeah, I really like what Jackson Dart's doing. He's giving
him
a little
bit of – he could have focused on Dart, right?
Yeah, yeah, you could have just done that. But, hey, take your shot, I guess, when you want, and just don't get upset when they clap back. So now
that's I'm just the thing. Don't be sensitive. Don't claim the renegade or that I can handle all this. I'm talking about on either side and then turn right around and get sensitive. I would imagine that Sean's going to smirk at it a little more than Russ is.
Yeah.
But I also know that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to take Russ's side because Sean's brash. He is, and he's in, and he knows he's good. And that's not a bad thing. A lot of them do. But I kind of like it because it gives us fodder for another segment to talk about it. I think it's kind of cool. I don't mind them getting after each other.
Yeah, there's some interesting stuff going on in the NFL these days. But before we jump into some college football real quick, let's talk about Perplexity.
I'm all in. Triple E, let's you and I do this thing together, brother. Hey, guys, let me ask you something. Let to the heart of what you're doing. How much time do you spend every single day on your web browser? Well, I got a new AI-powered web browser from Perplexity called Comet. So how much time? How much time do you spend clicking around online, searching, scrolling, typing endless tabs? It's a lot, right? Well, let's toggle through this stuff and let my guy Triple E and I walk you through it. You can ask Comet to do things for you, not just give you answers. Comet feels like having a personal assistant living in your web browser can actually do things for you across the internet. You can ask it anything and to do tasks for you and literally click, type, search, and scroll just like you would to get things done for you in the background while you go about your day. We all want more efficiency from our day, and Comet from Perplexity, this new AI-powered web browser, is doing that for you. Comet can shop for you, make reservations, book travel, summarize articles or videos, send emails, schedule meetings, and a lot more to make your life easier. Let's show you how it works. Now, folks, when you think about this, think how much time you do, regardless what it is for work, pleasure, travel, amazing what it can do. And if there's feels like a live human being hanging in your web browser and it frees you up to be more efficient doing something else, why wouldn't you? All right, for instance, let's say Triple E, let's go find a great Mexican restaurant in Austin next Wednesday. Okay, next Wednesday. And let's see, let's do it at a time. How about we say this? At a time, maybe 7 o'clock, that fits my calendar, and book it. Then I want you to send that calendar invite and an email to my colleague, John, with the details. As Comet works, you're going to see all the screen recording play come up, right? You're going to see it check your calendar, scan restaurant options, book the reservations, create the invite, and then it's going to email John. And as you roll through that, it's pretty cool, right? So if you'll just download Perplexity, think about what it's doing to free you up so you're not worried about it. You know, like I said, AI is awesome, but when it feels like it's a live person, it doubles down on old school plus awesome to combine them so you can free up more time. It is pretty cool. So download Perplexity, the new AI web browser by Comet, by heading to pplx.ai/Sean, S-E-A-N, and let your browser work for you. Plus, right now, when you download Comet, you get a month of Rumble Premium for free, which is huge. Again, that's pplx.ai/Sean, pplx.ai/Sean, and you're going to get a free month of Rumble Premium free. That's the bonus. The other thing is you're going to free up more time to be more efficient in your life. That's how a web browser is supposed to work. So again, download that new web browser Comet by heading to pplx.ai/Sean and get to work.
All right, Sean here. Just a few more minutes here on Unpaved with myself and Sean. Sean, let's look at college football. I got three teams that I think are really interesting when we're looking at the national landscape, the national championship landscape, as we get a little bit further on into this season. Tell me who you like the most out of these three teams. Is it number three, Texas A&M? They sit at 7-0 in the SEC, sitting really well, look like they're going to make the playoffs. You got number five, Georgia, who me and you both kind of wrote off as a team that wasn't the Georgia of old. Then they come out, score 43 on Ole Miss. Gunnar Stockton throws four touchdowns. They're 6-1, 4-1 in the SEC, starting to play their best football. And then you got Georgia Tech sitting at number seven, 7-0, playing really good football. Georgia and Georgia Tech will play each other the last game of the regular season, as always. Looking forward to that matchup. But if you had those three teams, who are you looking at right now?
Well, let me ask you this, Segs, and I'll answer it. Of those three teams, which team has to have the quarterback play? I know they all have to play well. Which team cannot overcome bad quarterback play? See if we're on the same. I know it's all of them, but I mean,
yeah.
But which team, who can survive and hang like around? Two of the
Georgia
three.
Back. If they lose their quarterback, I think they're done.
Haynes King. Agreed. Yeah, Haynes King, and yeah. And if I can limit him, because he's got great feet, he's a really good dual guy, right? Yes. I'm not sure they have enough firepower in the passing game if you eliminate the legs. Does that make sense? And look what he did, dude. When he was at Texas A&M, he couldn't throw up. I mean, he came highly regarded, got out of there, and now he's really started to wreck. He's like a late bloomer with the dual. Yes. I think if you take him away, I'm going to have a hard time winning. As good as Georgia Tech and the coach, I love the way they play. And they're always – and nobody talks about them. It's like when Paul Johnson was there running. But Georgia, with a great defense and run game, even if Stockton doesn't take over, I think they can still win. And I compared Georgia to Kansas City. We left them for dead, and they're rearing. They're starting to look. The Chiefs in the NFL, Georgia, they're starting to look. And don't look now, but 3 weeks from now, we may both be saying Georgia's playing as good as any team in the country, and Kansas City, which we're already saying, may be the best team in the NFL and the team to beat. Right. Texas A&M's a sneaky one here, Segs. I didn't like what I saw against Arkansas, but Bobby Petrino, I've told you this, Petrino knows offense, dude. He knows how to dial up X's and O's as good as any play caller in America. He's really good at it. He just has some other things he needs to polish up to get good. But I know Elko, and I don't know what the distraction of all this Penn State talk would be, right, Segs, which is, you know, the talk with Mike. I think right now A&M's a better job. They got more money that they're going to spend. I wouldn't leave it. Sure. And I, you know, regardless of what they say, they're not going or they are, they'll consider it later. They don't want to talk about it. A&M's got that backing with A&M. If you're winning, well, I don't know why you'd leave, Segs. There's plenty of money to go around with that oil money. Let's just put it that way. Yes, and he's done a great job of doing what they needed. Dominant defense. They know how to run it. Their quarterback, like Haynes King, a two-dimensional guy, but he's an explosive, dynamic talent, Segs, and I've seen both. I would say it goes in this order in my level of trust. If I had to make a Kalshi futures bet right now, futures prediction, should I say, I'd take Georgia, followed by A&M, followed by Tech. And who's going to have the easier path to get there? Tech is because of where they play. The tougher path is Georgia and Texas A&M. But I like A&M's energy, and they've never won since they've been in the SEC in Baton Rouge, which they have to do this weekend. And quite frankly, if they play their best and LSU plays their best, because I think we overrated LSU from the start now that I look back. They're just not – we know who you are this one. I think I've seen enough from A&M to know that finally, not with Jimbo, not with Sumlin before that, this team's more physical than A&M teams of the past, because if this is the time of year when A&M's physicality would wilt. It ain't going to wilt this time. A&M's real. But plus the experience of big game times and big game moxie, give me Georgia of the three.
Okay, yeah. I think, yeah, with Kirby Smart and everything, that's just when if you're talking about coaching and who you trust, it's definitely Kirby Smart.
I mean, the other two, I think, and this is not a knock on them, Sakes, because they haven't seen this. Those two, Georgia Tech and A&M, hope to get there with hard work and getting production. Georgia expects to be there. And the accountability is in the building. I know, put it this way, you can't do what any of these three teams are doing without accountability, buy-in to the whole, what they're teaching. But for my money, if I'm going ROI, return on my investment, I'd be investing in Georgia right now just because, well, Kirby Smart ain't half bad at what he does, and he's seen the movie many a times before.
And we kind of just expect A&M to kind of fall apart at some point. It's what they've always done. They just have that game where they just like, all right, that's A&M. It doesn't matter who the coach is.
This would be one of those, Segs, against LSU. This would be one of them, no doubt about it.
We thought Arkansas was going to be that game, and they pulled that game out. So now you got a big one with LSU, and a team, like you said, isn't playing that well. All right, to end the show, as we always do, we're going to talk a little gambling. Odds on Kalshi to be the next head coach at the University of Florida. They've got Lane Kiffin at a 64% implied probability, then James Franklin at 26, and then Eli Drinkwitz at 10. If you're those guys, obviously James Franklin is looking for a job. So let me ask you about Kiffin and Drinkwitz first. Would you leave those schools you're at right now to go to the University of Florida?
Let me start there real quick. Why would I, if I'm Florida, hire a guy who doesn't win big games for that kind of 100%. Money? I'm just back to I've seen that movie. Why in the world would I do that? He's already proven, and he got plenty of good players at Penn State too, that something's missing, and I'm not going to invest $10 to $12 million a year in him to do that. And I think he's a good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. Right. There's one. I love Eli because we talk about the Sean Payton swagger, and Eli's got some of that in him. You talk about a guy who's got you thinking that Missouri can win every single week. I think about Missouri's like two steps ahead of where Vanderbilt is becoming. You know what I'm saying, Segs? You get me? Look how those coaches have impacted those programs. And I know Gary Pinkle did a good job. Eli's even it's even taken it and raised him one. You have no choice but to go if you're Eli. I'm sorry. Now, I know we probably thought the same thing about Indiana, but I just don't know. We're just recruiting base and the rest of it. I don't know how you don't take the Florida job if you're. I know they're both SEC, but okay, let me ask you this. You got Duke, and give me a St. John's. St. John's, I'm just using them as an example. St. John's, good program. Rick Pitino, they're really good, right? History, blue blood program. Yep. Louis Carnesecca, look what Pitino's doing. You're making the same money. You leaving? Where do you got a better chance to win a national title? At Duke or St. John's? Duke. Even though St. John's can get to the playoff and win three games in the tournament, you just the better chance. You just have a better bandwidth. Yeah. You just do. And while Missouri has done some amazing things, Florida's bandwidth and recruiting base is bigger, and they're gonna pay more. So I think Eli would leave. The one here is Kiffin. Florida still got a bigger bandwidth than Ole Miss does, but it's starting to give me a Dabo. Now, Dabo won a national title.
Yeah.
But it's starting to give me a Dabo feel, the love that they showed for Dabo to keep him there. I almost feel like Lane's maturing enough to say business is not done yet here at Ole Miss. But money talks. I think he's got a place down in Florida. I think he's got some stuff down there. I would understand why he did. I mean, he went Tennessee. Lane's had some jobs now.
Yeah.
Tennessee. Raiders, two of the three are my favorite teams, right? The Raiders and the Trojans. So I love, and I've known the guys since I wouldn't watch them play high school football, as I've said before. So I love him. The temptation's there. I am curious. I don't know if he would, Sigs, but I would think that Eli would be the no-brainer. If I'm Florida, I'm not paying all that money to James Franklin. I'm just sorry, I'm not. The catch here is, do you want a guy like Kiffin? Because you know you'll win. The question is, what's a better program right now, Sakes, Florida or Ole Miss? That's what he's got to ask himself. Right. Has he built it enough at Ole Miss to say, I can get the same people Florida can? I don't need to leave for Florida. Because when Urban Meyer was there, it's a no-brainer, right? It was a no-brainer. But how do we feel about the program now? And I think that's something you have to face. I would think they could make it worth his while to leave. But there's a part of me that wants Lane to stay at Ole Miss and just do his thing there. But I would get it, and I definitely would get it. My gut tells me that Eli would jump at it quickly, even though I know he loves Missouri, and he would be one hell of a – those two over Franklin today and twice on Sunday for me, no doubt.
100% agree. All right, yeah, that'll do it for today's show. Tomorrow, we got some big college football games this weekend. We got Ole Miss at Oklahoma. We've got Alabama and South Carolina. We got Missouri. We were just talking about, and Vandy is another team that I could have thrown in that with those four teams. And then we have a sneaky one. UCLA is red hot. They travel to Bloomington, Indiana to face the number two team in the nation and the Hoosiers. Are the Hoosiers on upset watch? I don't know about that. And then we'll talk a little more about Penn State. We'll look at Penn State's coaching odds tomorrow. And then plus we have Vikings at Chargers. Carson Wentz will start again on Thursday Night Football. We'll break that down for you as well.
Hey, real quick, Sigs, before we go, two things. Just some news that we'll probably get into tomorrow. We don't, you know, matter of fact, it's never happened where a college coach jumps and goes right from college to the Major League Baseball. Tony Vitello Tennessee's manager, who's really good, is supposed to be, like, according to Jeff Passan, is supposed to be in a position to be the first ever to jump from college major league to take over the Giants job in San Francisco, which I can't blame. Tennessee is a great baseball program, but it's the San Francisco Giants. Talk about blue blood.
Major leagues.
That's exactly right. So you work your whole life for this. He's 47. Keep an eye on that. And one other thing, Sigs, we have to, because not just because I live here, because I think the Texans are done. And I know we teased that we want to get – I really want to hit that hardcore NFL tomorrow, because this is a team we thought was running away with the division. I'm not sure they're running away with shit. And now Nico Collins has got a concussion. And I'm telling you, the offense is a hard watch, Segs. And I watched some more film on, and I saw a video and then went back and watched it because I tape them all. Once again, the simplest things on the offensive line, they can't pick up.
Just running into each other.
It is. It's like I don't mind organized chaos because that's what football is. But they're just chaotic and don't know how to organize. And it's the same mistakes regularly. The Houston Texans are not making the playoffs. Understand that as we sit here today. We'll discuss that tomorrow as well.
All right. Yeah, we got a lot to talk about tomorrow. Thanks to Triple E. Thanks to Laura, as always, behind the scenes. Thanks to you, Sean. Thanks to all our listeners, as always. We appreciate you guys joining us every single day as we continue to build the show into a monster. Right, Sean?
Yes, sir. Monster, unstoppable monster, but a good monster.
A good monster. Yes, a friendly one. Yes.
I mean, we're not going to.
Unless you say something stupid, then we'll snap back at you.
There you go. Well, we'll snap back at you, but we're not going to throw our own teammates under the bus when we own the team. No, what a shocker. Okay.
Right.
What a shocker. We'll see you guys tomorrow. Great stuff, brother. Thank you.
Yep.
All right.
We'll be here back at noon Central, 1 Eastern. See you guys later. Peace.